Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960. We're keeping it local with High Desert issues, events, and interesting people. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
Well, good morning, Roxanne. How are you?
Wonderful to see you, Regina. Happy Father's Day weekend to everyone.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I don't hope you're getting ties, but maybe, you know.
Take them out to dinner,
yeah,
to
take
lunch.
Them out to dinner. Do something fun. Watch a game, you know, something.
That'd be nice.
But happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there, and hope that you're enjoying a beautiful weekend here in the high desert.
Yes, another warm one, so
and
stay cool.
And you know
cool.
What else? Mm. Victor Valley College, graduation is coming
awesome.
Up.
Another congratulations to the class of 2025 and all our Victor Valley College friends who have been on High Desert Dialogue. Thank you for your support and work, and looking forward to next year.
Yes,
it just go by so fast, right?
I know. So congratulations to all those wonderful graduates, and you know, hope you guys feel really special and celebrate it. You know, Roxanne, I'm always excited because we have just extraordinary people that live here in the high desert. And a lot of times I feel like, you know, we don't really get the full value or take in, you know, who's here and just all of the wonderfulness that we have through just extraordinary individuals, like I said. And this lady, I met her many years ago.
Okay.
Just an amazing, delightful, inspirational, just light, right? Just a bright light. And I am so happy to welcome Brisa Alfaro to the show today. Brisa comes from a family with an amazing history here in the high desert. And I know that many of you have dined at the family restaurant, which is Las Brisas in Apple Valley.
Very
right?
Nice, yes.
And so today, this phenomenal, I call her a phenomenal woman, has come to share with us a very personal story of resilience. And so again, Brisa, just welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We are so excited to
have you, Brisa.
Join us.
Oh my gosh, thank you ladies so much. I'm honored to be here with you ladies.
Well, you know what? I want to dive right in because you have, I don't even want to call it a story, but it is a life experience that, you know, just epitomizes the resiliency of the human spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to jump in. Give us a little bit of background on you had a very unexpected, life-altering health experience. Many years ago. And why don't you start there by telling us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so most of the time we never think that crazy things can happen to us like that. We somehow think that we're a rare exception, that those kind of things happen to other people. It doesn't really happen to us. And as you were saying earlier, my family owns a restaurant, and we grew up in the restaurant, and we were just a normal family. So I honestly didn't expect something so out of the ordinary to happen to me. And honestly, it was a blessing. At the time when it happened, I didn't realize it, but over time it became clear. So we'll rewind about 11 years ago. I was working in the beauty industry, and I was traveling. I went to New York City for a big hair nail show. And while I was out there, I experienced a stroke. I was 32 years old, so I didn't think that something like that could happen to me.
Right.
That's so young, right.
Right,
yeah.
Because I thought that was for other people. That's not... not for me. I'm not ready for that. I'm not even, I don't do anything that would warrant that anyways, because I knew that people could have strokes if they do live certain lifestyles. But I didn't think that I was overly stressed. I wasn't doing drugs. I wasn't drinking alcohol. I worked out. I was fairly healthy. So I honestly didn't understand why stroke struck me. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it. So I'm laying there in the hospital bed, completely confused as to why this happened to me, but it didn't really change my state. Mm-hmm. I was still laying in the hospital bed.
Yeah.
So listening to all the medical professionals talk about my condition. Now, the reason that they were talking about it, and I'm highlighting that, is because while I was in this locked-in state, or this state laying in the hospital bed, my body was, I was locked in my body. I was basically like a body laying on a bed, just a vegetable.
Did they tell you what kind of stroke you had?
Yeah, so most people that have strokes, it affects a certain side of their body, the left side or right side. Mine happened in the middle, so it affected both sides. And then I developed something called locked-in syndrome. So it's a very, very rare condition. There were, at the time, there were less than 5 cases per year worldwide. And I'm listening to my doctors describe my condition to the other medical professionals and to my mom, and when she finally did get there. And I just thought that I was listening to a movie. There's no way that they're talking about me. But at the end of the day, I really was locked in my body, and I could not communicate. And nobody could understand that I was trying to communicate because, like I said, I was just a body laying in a hospital bed.
So you were, like, totally paralyzed.
I was.
But could you hear? I mean, could you hear them? You just couldn't react?
I could hear, but I could not react. So eventually they had to trach me. So that means that they inserted a small tube in my airways so that the machines could breathe for me. I was also pegged. So the I was being fed through a tube in my stomach.
You can do it yourself, yeah.
So I literally could not move or communicate.
Wow.
All I could do was open my eyes. Now, I could open my eyes, but I couldn't see what I was seeing. Like, I didn't have vision yet. So I was able to open them, physically speaking, but I couldn't.
Like focus in on anything or make anything out.
I couldn't make sense of what I was seeing.
Okay.
So at the same time, I also had a brain injury. I mean, a stroke is also a brain injury.
Yes.
So I was really confused. I didn't really understand my condition until more and more I heard about it from the medical professionals when they're explaining things to my family. It was really touch and go in the beginning. They didn't know whether or not I was going to make it. And the medical professionals pretty much bet on me not making it. But my mom, they didn't know my mom. My mom is a stubborn Mexican mama. So she was like, oh, no, no, we're going to keep trying.
Yes.
And it didn't matter what the odds were or what it looked like. My mom was very, very persistent on, no, we're going to keep trying. And what my mom did, all the family was invited to come to the hospital and basically say goodbye to me. But my mom had a different plan. My mom was very much like, okay, we're going to talk to her as if she's going to be okay.
Yes.
We're not going to allow her to believe or think that there's even a realm of possibility of her not making it.
Yes.
And if she believes it, then she will work for it. So that's exactly what I did. And during this time, my mom played an audiobook for me. And that audiobook, see, she didn't know that I was resonating with anything. Because, again, I'm just a body laying in a hospital bed. But my mom would talk to me, and she would play this audiobook, and I'm listening to it, and I hear, okay, first of all, the book is called The Secret. I'm sure some of you guys have heard of it. Focuses on the law of attraction. What you focus on grows.
Yes.
So I'm listening to this book, and I hear this woman by the name of Lisa Nichols, and she says, the first step is to ask. Make a command to the universe. Let the universe know what you want, because the universe responds to your thoughts. And that's all I had. All I had was my thoughts. So I started thinking, if all I got to do is change my thoughts and it'll change my life, then why not try, right? Mm-hmm. So I had nothing to lose.
Yes.
I had a less than 1% chance to survive. So listen, I'm going to do what I can, right? So I did. I tried and I just thought positive. And I thought, oh, I'm going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. But sometimes just thinking positive is not enough. You have to back it up with action. And how are you going to do that? So sometimes the world feels like it's crashing down on you. The only way you're going to make a difference is if you do something about it. You can't just cry about it, you know?
Yes.
You got to do something about it. And so I had to get into action. And the only action that I could do was play a movie in my mind. And I started to play the movie of the outcome that I wanted. And I concentrated so deeply on this movie that anytime any medical professional came in the room, draw my blood or feed me or whatever, they broke my movie and I had to like delay for a little commercial break. and they did what they had to do and I went back to my movie. And I believed in it so much that I honestly felt like everything was going to be okay. I had no doubt. And it didn't matter that the doctors kept coming in and saying, I'm sorry, this is as good as it gets. And my mom rushing to tell them she's moving on command. Like, I see her moving. She's moving her pinky. Mm-hmm. She's moving.
Yes.
And they're like, I'm sorry, ma'am. Those movements are involuntary. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think, how many times does that happen to all of us? Where we work and work and work so hard for efforts to finally get noticed. And they're just unrecognized.
Right.
And nobody notices.
Right.
But it's that moment that we have to decide, do we give up because nobody notices? Or do we keep trying?
Do we believe in ourselves?
That's it.
And move forward.
And you have to believe in yourself. So I took that moment and I spun it and just said, you know what? No, I'm going to keep trying. And I did keep trying. And my mom, again, being the stubborn Mexican mama, she says, no, you come back in there and check her. She's moving on command. And the next time that they did come in, they checked me and I finally was able to show them a sign. But now that sign didn't come just like that. It wasn't a quick moment. It was me trying and trying and trying and no one noticing. And then finally, I would try and get right there on the brink. Imagine, it was like a energy beam that was coming from my brain, passing the barricade at my brainstem, traveling down through my arm, passing my elbow, and then stalling at my wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moment I hear something discouraging, that energy beam starts retracting back.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens to a lot of us in our dreams.
Yes.
We hear the first comment of someone that doesn't believe in our dreams, and then we stop trying.
Yes.
So I realized I needed to keep trying. And so I did, and I was able to make that energy beam reach my hand and show my family, the doctors, the nurses, everybody who was in the room, the sign that I was still in my body. Now, that didn't come in huge movement.
Mm-hmm.
It came in by the flicker of a pinky. Some of us think that we need to move mountains right away, but we don't.
Right.
We just have to keep flickering our pinky.
Right.
And that's all I did.
Right.
I made a pinky move. And then the next thing I did was make another pinky move. When I was able to sit up in my hospital bed, then I was able to be transferred to a wheelchair. And then the next thing, I was able to stand up from my wheelchair and walk with a walker and walk with a cane. And later I walked unassisted. But all of those micro moves were all celebrated.
Yes.
And they were all tiny little micro moves, little pinky moves, I call them, that got me to my next. And I think that's what we need to focus on, is those little micro moves, those little pinky moves that will get us there. Because when we look at the big mountain, we don't even want to take the first step.
Right. And I think, Risa, what you're saying to me resonates as the process.
Yes.
There is a process. And so often we want to circumvent what the process is. But in the process, in each of those pinky moves, you were strengthening you. You were becoming more and more empowered. You were learning more about yourself, which was leading you to that resiliency, right?
Yes.
And that's a process.
Yes.
And it's the same for us, no matter what the challenges may be for us. And that's, for me, I think, we talk about resiliency.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you just wake up one day and it's all there in this bright, shiny rainbow.
Right.
But it is really the process, doing a little bit of the work every day. And even in the face of disappointment, because I'm sure there were times where you were disappointed or frustrated.
Of course.
But there was something that kept moving you past that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Tell me, when was it that you realized you had come to that place of resiliency?
I don't think there's any one particular time that any of us really realize that we are resilient.
Mm.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. And I think how we deal with adversity and how we embrace a positive mindset. I think when life happens to us, how are we going to approach the situation? If you look at it from a negative perspective, that's all you'll receive is negativity. But when you change that narrative in your mind, play a different movie in your mind,
yes,
and you'll see how incredible life starts to unfold. I mean, there were times before my stroke where I used to live in LA, and I would drive from LA to Apple Valley, you know, to visit my family and the restaurant and everything.
Right.
And many times I'd be stuck on the freeway and just, you know, just
right,
annoyed, right?
Right?
But now, after experiencing what I experienced, I realize what a gift. I get to be stuck in traffic.
Right.
What a gift. It's raining today. What a gift.
Yes.
Like, everything that I never paid attention to, everything is, I don't take it for granted anymore. Mm. And I think that little key, just that one little thing, if you can look at adversity and ask yourself, what is this trying to teach me?
Yes.
It changes everything.
Yes, I agree with you. I am being a mom myself, you know, one of the things that I always would say to my son is, whenever you're going through a hard time or a challenge, right, the question is not why me. The question is, what am I supposed to learn to be better, right? There's a lesson in this.
Yeah.
And if you can get through that, on the other side of it, you're going to be so much better,
yeah,
right? So much more empowered,
yes,
so much more enhanced.
Brisa,
I love the fact of what you're sharing, because it's a lot of just common sense, right?
It's simple.
It's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not this magical thing. It's just basic common sense in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the tenacity and the will of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's also having, you are a product of your environment, so who you surround yourself with.
Yes.
So there are a lot of factors that add into that. You've done quite a bit since this experience that brought you to this place that really was very humbling and challenging in a number of ways, but it also gave you the opportunity to clearly define who you are and why you are. And so some of those things you've done is, you are a best-selling author, right?
Yes.
Tell us about the book and the title.
The title is called Limitless, and you can get it on Amazon, and it became an international number one bestseller. I honestly didn't expect to write a book, but mm-hmm. it was very therapeutic for me mm-hmm. to get kind of get it all out there. But yeah, I wrote it, and honestly, Lisa Nichols was the one that told me I was going to do it, and she wrote the foreword to my book.
Wow. And just for those who may not be aware of who Lisa Nichols is, because that's a pretty huge name.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about her, who she is?
She's a global inspirational speaker.
Yeah.
She's been on Oprah and Larry King and, I mean, her own platforms. Tony Robbins, she's huge.
She's like a huge motivational speaker.
Yeah, she's amazing.
And highly sought after. And so for her to write that foreword of your book was just a true blessing.
Oh, it was.
Right?
It was.
And then you've done a TED Talk.
I have.
Right?
I have.
And you know, you're often a keynote speaker yourself, and mm-hmm. you're sought out to do keynote addresses and to participate as mm-hmm. a featured panelist quite often.
Yes.
And what I love, Roxanne, is we always talk about all these positive things that are going on here in the High Desert and positive people. And so you're here. You're based here in the High Desert. And so if someone wants to hear more about your story, if there's somebody listening and they say, oh, you know what, you would be an awesome mm-hmm. key speaker for us, how can they get in contact with you? How can they connect?
Well, thank you for saying all of that, Regina. I really, really want to help our community and speak at community events. Mm-hmm. I get invited to speak all over the place, but to speak in my own hometown,
yes,
that just feels it just lands different,
yes.
you know.
Yes.
So please reach out to me. My email. You can email me at Brisa@BrisaAlfaro.com, or you can message me on social media, which is also Brisa Alfaro.
Yes. You know, and Brisa, you've done a lot here in the High Desert. I know that whenever I've called you to come and speak to women, I remember reaching out to you, and you came and spoke to the women at A Better Way, domestic violence shelter and outreach,
mm-hmm.
And they were truly inspired by what you had to share. And the fact that, again, you share in such a very practical, down-to-earth, relatable way, right? And the work that you're doing in that aspect is phenomenal. I know that you are also doing work through your part of the board, I believe, with Today's Woman Foundation.
Yeah, I'm an ambassador with them. Yeah.
Yes. Nice. And you're doing amazing work with them as well. And so we'd love to have you come back. And
Absolutely.
Share more, because, you know, we can never get enough of being reminded and reinvigorated towards finding our own resiliency and charging our own path, right?
Mm-hmm. I would like to know more about your strength and how you recovered from the stroke to get back into the workforce, back into society. So that would be great to learn more.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
So we would love mm-hmm. to have you back and talk about that, because mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are individuals out there who have had their own specific health challenges
yeah.
that may have rendered them to try and find, how do I do this on a daily but differently?
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so would you come back?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
We'd love to have you come back. And again, before we let you go, tell us if somebody is interested, wanting to learn more, wanting to get the book, would like to secure you for as a featured speaker, how can they do that?
Well, they could just reach out to me on my email and send me a little message and let me know what the event is for and the date, and we'll lock in the date. But yeah, you can. I'm easygoing person. You can just message me, and then we'll get to cracking at it. But
great.
Yeah.
And so, give us that email address one more time.
Brisa@BrisaAlfaro.com.
All right. Brisa, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming in today, sharing with us. You just have a beautiful light about you. And, you know, your mom is just amazing and so inspirational. So please give her my love.
I will.
And we'll look forward to having you back.
Thank you. Yes, Hopefully, I see everybody at the restaurant sometime soon, too.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. Reach out to us and let us know what you want to talk about. Send us an email at RoxanneScafidi@edbroadcasters.com. High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne. We'll talk to you next weekend.